Welcome, everyone, to a very special installment of V Speaks and V Book Club podcast. We are on location at Redfish Film Festival in downtown Panama City, and I'm so excited to be here with one of this weekend's featured filmmakers, Dana Ruggiero.
Oh, Jordan, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. I know that we've connected over different events on 30A, and it's so exciting to have you on the podcast and get to talk about your latest projects.
Gosh, I have been, living on 30A on and off now for many years. I don't even know how many years now, decades. And, I care about this area so much. And so getting to make a film about the Gulf Coast, about this place that I love, has been so special. And to premiere it here at Redfish and to be here with you, it's just all so special. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So tell us about your film that's showing tomorrow.
Yeah. So my new film is called Apology to Earth. Mm-hmm. And basically, I'm a first-person filmmaker. My project is called Climate Listening Project. And I listen to people around the world who are, sharing hopeful stories on solutions. And so there was a community here in Port St. Joe that had a big win protecting their environment. And so I followed that story to Japan and then to the Philippines, to the Verde Island Passage, which is the center of the center of marine shorefish biodiversity. And so I, got a chance to listen to these stories around the world of people that are ocean protectors, coastal protectors, and just share this hopeful, beautiful vision that they have to have, this coast that we look out on and love so much.
That's what I was about to say. So living here, I know, we have this beautiful environment and the beaches and all of the very unique ecosystems that are in this area and lots of documentaries being made about that as well. But how did you make that connection from Port St. Joe to all these other places?
Yeah, this area is so special. We have actually worked very hard for so many years to protect this area. We've banned offshore drilling in Florida. And so that was kind of that next step was going to be what's called LNG in Florida, which would be liquid natural gas exports. So we have not allowed that in Florida either. So we're fighting back. We're saying, hey, we don't want this sort of, industrial development to take our coastlines. And so that's what's happening in the Philippines, though. So I actually was on like a teeny tiny little boat made of bamboo being taken to islands, getting to meet these amazing fisher folk and these communities that, had really had these very natural areas like we experienced in 30A. And so it's just this very quick development of these new industries, and you're just responding. You're just saying, okay, we don't want offshore drilling. We don't want these, big, big gas pipes in our waters. And so it's all these people around the world that are working together, and you're not alone, and you often have somebody else that shares your story and loves the place as much as you do. And so just bring those stories together.
I think that's so amazing that you're doing that. And it's so funny because I feel like when we hear about all these things that are happening like that, and you want to do something about it, but you're always hearing about the top level, like the politicians and the big corporations that are involved. And something that you documentarians are so good at is finding the people, the everyday people that are really like fighting the fight on the ground, doing things that they can. So how do you connect with those people?
I am always invited to communities. And so, I followed moms across America that were, fighting back against sort of fracking in their communities or, coal ash pollution in their communities. And we're winning and we're, coming together with other ordinary moms, not anybody that would have even said, hey, I'm an activist or I'm an environmentalist, but they're caring for their children's health. I followed birders across borders, following a wood thrush to Belize. I've followed faith across America, and I'm actually getting ready to start a new tour where I will be following faith stories of people that care for creation and are connected to the environment in other ways. And so, all of these people that love their place, and whether it's for the food we eat, and I'm filming farmers, or it's, it's all these unique journeys that we have, and we're so connected because we all need food, actually. We all love to hear that bird sing. We all have children and future that we hope for, So it really is all these just ordinary people that kind of find me doing this listening work and say, hey, come listen here.
Right. That's so cool. And you get to tell their stories and like and they all get connected in different ways too. Even, you know, you would think, okay, following some birders who love this wood thrush, and then people who are fighting fracking don't seem connected, but they really are. Like, everyone really is. So
I have interviewed Republican congressmen. I have interviewed, you know, celebrities like Woody Harrelson. I mean, I have interviewed people in islands without electricity, you know, so it's like the vastness of humanity. And I get an opportunity to sit down and be my whole self. That's all I do. And that's the only thing I do different. I don't go in with an agenda. They say, Dana, come listen. And I go and I listen and I help them make the film that they want to make just through listening. And we share those stories by the people, for the people, with the people, you know?
So tell me how, because I mean, you have these amazing documentaries that you've worked on. You won Emmys and different film festival awards, but how does it all fit into your larger climate listening project?
Gosh, yeah, that's the thing that I'm me. I'm environmentalist Dana. I care deeply about, you know, this beautiful place that we all share. I love the forest here. I used to work with the Emerald Coast Wildlife Refuge. I started, my first job was at the Northwest Florida Zoo. You know, I've worked with all of the Choctahatchee Basin Alliance and the groups that have worked to protect the forest throughout this region. And so it's really been, you know, a passion of mine to just care for this place that we all share. And so to be then invited to engage with the people that live in each place, it's been an interesting journey, because now I feel like the world has gotten so small. I've been to almost every state. Yeah. I have been to countries. I have been, you know, and like I could go to the Philippines and I know so many people there that have wanted me to come listen. I don't even speak the language. I don't speak Japanese. But when you go and you say, hey, I'm here to listen, magic happens. We often, so all of us feel unheard. So that's the magic of, I just care and I am willing to listen.
Yeah. You're giving a voice to these people and then also to the planet and the wildlife and everything that's, you know, happening. So did you always know you wanted to do that, or did you always have like a proclivity for it growing up? Tell me where you're from, because I know you've lived here, you live in LA, you've kind of been all over. So
I was born in New York.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, I had a little VW bug with stickers on it that were like, protect the planet. Yeah. So I was actually a runner, and running paid for my college. And that is, you know, so I went to a big Division I school. And after a year, I said, I don't want to be a runner anymore. I really want to dive into this person that I'm becoming as an adult. So that's how I found the University of West Florida in Pensacola. And I came down here when I was 18 years old. I was marketing director at the Northwest Florida Zoo by the time I was 19.
Okay.
And then I was PR director I worked for the Panama City News Herald and all the newspapers to the Northwest Florida Daily News as community stewardship director for the whole region. And I got to work with all these amazing groups. And so when I studied at the University of West Florida, I studied communications, but every paper, every speech, every work that I did was about the environment.
Right.
And then I got my master's in environmental studies, environmental science, but every single thing that I did was about how do we engage public participation? How do we better tell stories? How do we include the community in this? And so now there's environmental communications studies, but you know, I kind of made my way through it. And even now I never know what's gonna happen next, who will invite me to listen next. It's an unfolding as we respond to climate changing. You know, being in LA now, I've been doing some networking out there, and I've only been there a few months, and we've had the worst wildfires that have ever happened there. So I've been now invited to start listening there, and just kind of a responsive listening project, connecting hopeful conversations. You know, that's where I want to be. I want to be showing the joy, be showing the hope that we all do have.
I love that you're a runner. I didn't know that. So, and that, like, what a way to see nature, you know, like, I feel like so many runners get way more involved in environmental protection because you get to see it up close and like running through it. And it's such a beautiful way to explore the earth. But, I want to go also now into your newer projects. Like you just said, you know, you're in LA working on some different things right now. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you.
Yeah, my new film, Apology to Earth, will premiere here at Redfish tomorrow. But then, my new film, Apology to Earth, will premiere at Redfish Film Festival. Mm-hmm. But it will then go on the film festival circuit, yes, and I will show that film around. It will be available through impact events, is what we call them, in community. My next film is called Climate Change And. Mm-hmm. And so when I think of everything else that we have to deal with in our day-to-day lives, our layered traumas, right, but also we have climate change and hope, climate change and, yes, a vision for the future. So, yes, it's just that kind of play on words. And so that is about Hurricane Helene in the Asheville area. So, mm-hmm, I was invited there to listen. And then I will start my newest project, yet to be named, a listening project across America with, okay, the faith groups called Blessed Tomorrow.
Okay.
Wow. And I worked with them once before, and we made a film in Kentucky and distributed that to 4,000 churches across the United States, mm-hmm, with toolkits on how to green your church. And so, mm-hmm, we're now kind of taking that to the next level and doing a deep listening of how it's, yeah, gone and what people are visioning for the future. So I've been, you know, out in LA, you know, going to these film premieres with the Gina Davis Institute, who works on so many levels to have women in media, have, mm-hmm, you know, representation in all levels, from, you know, television and how women are represented on TV to, you know, to anybody, you know, disabled or like any other way that you could think of it. And so I'm learning with them, as well as Ava DuVernay and, mm-hmm, the work that she's doing, where it's combining that sort of fiction with the real stories. So I've been meeting with Hollywood writers in this, okay, movement to have sort of these real stories of climate included in normal TV shows. So I met with like the writers of the Lois and Clark TV show about, okay, Superman.
Right.
And I guess Lois was going to get cancer. How, uh-huh, can we connect that to, uh-huh, environmental stories? Okay. And that is very easy, yeah, to do. So
I think that's something a lot of us don't even realize that shows like that are doing. You know, they're talking to people like you, the experts on the subject, that are going to help them write those stories that then a larger audience gets to see, even if it's not, you know, maybe some people are like, oh, I don't like documentaries, but you've got to get the word out there however you can. So,
well, when I worked on that Emmy winning series 10 years ago, mm-hmm, called Years of Living Dangerously, we had Ian Somerhalder, mm-hmm, and, you know, he actually came down to Apalachicola. Yeah. I know, it was a beautiful experience. And, you know, he got to tell the story of how the oyster fishermen were, you know, seeing such drastic changes because of climate. But then when he was releasing that new season of The Vampire Diaries and he went on a press tour for that, I was like making sure that he had talking points in, mm-hmm, front of him about climate,
right,
about the oyster fishermen in Apalachicola, mm-hmm, when he's on, you know, these big, huge talk shows, invited for another reason. Mm-hmm. But how do we weave in the things that people care about? Because he actually really cares about, mm-hmm, these issues. And so I often just help people too, whether it's big corporations. Like I helped, my first tour was sponsored by Chevy and the Chevy, okay, Volt when they launched the electric car. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do we guide people to a better way with solutions as well? My newest partners are Open Water, who gave the Sea Change grant to the Florida Minority Panhandle Communities Climate Change Coalition.
How many times have you had to say
it's
that?
It's the FMP4C. So that was, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, just sort of bringing in all these different partners, mm-hmm, and these bigger names and cool things like this to just help connect the dots, connect the stories, and, yeah, you know.
No big deal. Like, you don't have much going on at all. No, that's so impressive. And, like, you're covering so many topics and doing so many different things, which is amazing. And you're talking about hope and giving people that and giving them voices. But was there ever a time when it was really hard and you're like, I don't know if I can keep doing this, or
it's
just like,
is.
Okay.
It always is. So, I mean, that's the thing I would say the most is, you know, people really feel unheard. And we could be in this room with all these people, and yet there's still things that we're thinking about that we may never even tell anybody. And so I think that we do need to listen to each other more. And I think that when we do feel heard, we have the ability to have hope. When we have our basic needs met, we have the ability to have hope. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these ideas around, you know, connectivity, when you know you're not alone, you can feel hope,
right,
you know? So I often haven't listened listen to myself. And so mm-hmm. I know I want to offer that to others. Mm-hmm. I know that listening is healing. And so my work, you know, the documentary isn't always the goal. The listening is the goal. Mm-hmm. The healing that happens in community is the goal. And that beautiful hope that happens throughout the process of making the film, throughout the distribution, having these cool premieres. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like a just going in and hearing the story and leaving. You know, I'm just living this life. And so I need to take time in between, like when I really hear something sad, to make sure that I'm taking time, just like we all need to, mm-hmm. like in the airplane, you know, you've got to put your little thing on first before you put it on the kid or something. Like uh-huh, you've got to take uh-huh. care of ourselves first so yep. that I can then, you know, take care. So I do actually, I look to the coastal dune lakes, mm-hmm. that healing energy mm-hmm. that I find yes. here. I mean, nature often is a place for us to heal mm-hmm. and it's free and it's mm-hmm. open for all of us. And so I want that to be available, you know, that sort of going to the trees and just feeling like you're seen, you feel whole, mm-hmm. you know, in nature. I feel like looking out on that endless ocean. And so that's where I get my healing back. That's where I become whole again so that I can continue to be my whole self, which then enables everybody else to just be their whole selves. And that's what I want. You know, I don't mm-hmm. want to go in and people to feel like they have to answer certain questions. Right. It's like, let's just be our whole selves. And what would that look like for once, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to do that? So a lot of beautiful magic happens in the filmmaking when we really are listening uh-huh. and being our whole selves is the way I like to say it.
I feel like that's a common thread that I've heard throughout this weekend. Yes. So, I mean, but that's amazing. That's what documentary is, you know, that's what it's all about, is just meeting those people and talking to them and letting them be heard and hearing them too. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for sitting here with us today. And we're so excited to get to hear you as you're telling everyone else's stories. But we can't wait to see the premiere tomorrow. And tell us like when, what time it is and
yes.
what venue.
So Apology to Earth, it's an Earth Day premiere. So you'll see it on the schedule as Earth Day, 3 p.m. at the Boxing Club. Okay. And so it's a cool venue. That yeah. should be
oh, yeah.
like, yeah.
The Downtown Boxing Club is really cool. So and I want to go cool take spot. A boxing class.
I know. So,
I've been saying that for a while now. So I've got to get over there and do that. But yeah, so many amazing venues and films and filmmakers here this weekend, and so excited to get to talk to you. So thank you for coming by today.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you so much. I love thee.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.